capital markets reacting to last night's presidential debate. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Most likely informed by last night's debate, financial markets are making adjustments this morning. You can see this in currency markets, for example, where some traders are taking the view that Donald Trump's momentum was diminished and Hillary Clinton's enhanced by their performances last night. Let's consult David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So in what ways are we seeing the presidential debate last night play out in the markets today?
Well, I think it's most obvious in currency market. The perception is that Hillary Clinton improved her chances of winning the general election in the debate last night. And if that turns out to be the case, then that is probably good for Mexico and Canada, because obviously one of Donald Trump's key platforms is renegotiating NAFTA.
Now, the Republican candidate, Mr. Trump, suggested that the U.S. Federal Reserve is playing politics. Now, of course, you know, Federal Reserve independence is a perennial and important political issue on the left and on the right. But the suggestion last night was more than that.
I find myself in a difficult situation here because I've criticized the Fed myself a lot for the last few years in not raising interest rates because I felt it was the appropriate thing to do for the economy. I can honestly say, though, having watched members of the Fed for many years, I don't believe this is party political. I believe that they believe that what they are doing is the right thing for the economy. I don't agree with them, but I don't think that party politics enters into it.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen spoke to this at her last press statement after the FOMC meeting. She thinks it's not playing politics.
I think it's right. I think it's important for her to say that. Now, very few people think that they will raise rates when they meet the week before the election, precisely because there is an election. They simply recognize that this election is causing a lot of uncertainty, and they'd rather change policy when uncertainty is lower rather than higher.
David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you for the briefing.
Anytime.
The Canadian dollar and the Mexican peso did spike up. In the case of the peso, up 1.8% at one point, the biggest gain in 7 months. A dollar now buys 19.68 pesos and $1.32 Canadian. Now to the debate viewed through the prism of 21st century discourse, including traditions of reality TV and use of social media. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace talked to a culture critic who is watching.
Lily Loofborough is a culture critic at The Week who says Trump is a master of reality TV, one of his reality tropes she calls me-flection.
It's a combination of sort of narcissistic reflection and deflection.
In other words, make it all about him. Here's a classic Trump me-flection from last night, asked about his judgment on the Iraq War.
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has, you know?
Another name Loofborough's come up with for a Trump rhetorical move.
Midasing, like King Midas, which is a separate but related tendency to kind of compulsively insert irrelevant praise for things that he's associated with, as if they were kind of elevated by being connected to him.
An example of that, Trump talking about the banks where his money resides.
I would give you a list of banks. These are very fine institutions, very fine banks. I could do that very quickly.
Clinton's debate performance leaned on some more traditional political rhetoric, zingers, catchphrases.
Trumped up, trickle down.
And a slightly more 21st century move, go to my website where we will fact check.
If you want to see in real time what the facts are, please go and take a look.
And take a look at mine also.
Finally, Clinton also just sat back some, using silence and body language rhetorically. Here's one moment where she audibly reacted following an angry Trump rant.
Woo! Okay.
Loofborough says off-the-cuffness is tricky for Clinton and for women in the public eye in general, while Trump's off-the-cuffness appeals to his base.
People love him for that because it feels so wonderfully unfiltered and people are tired of filters.
Whether the U.S. wants a president with no filter, we'll find out in November. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Fifteen years ago today, the younger President Bush rolled out new airline security measures in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. Not long after, the Transportation Security Administration was born. The TSA now spends about $7.5 billion a year trying to secure the skies and airports, and about $100 billion in the intervening years. Marketplace's Mark Garrison adds this up.
TSA money isn't even the whole story.
billions more have been spent by other security agencies, airlines, and airports. In one sense, the new world of aviation security has unquestionably hit the mark. Christian Beckner is deputy director of George Washington University's Center for Cyber and Homeland Security.
If you look at it at the most general level, you know, we haven't had another successful attack on the aviation system within the United States since 9/11.
That gets to the tricky thing about counterterror. If attacks don't succeed, you're happy, but you never really know if you spent the right amount, too much, or maybe just caught a lucky break. And it's a moving target. Rick Nelson is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
We have to change what we're screening. It used to be, you know, the shoe bomber, and then we had a challenge with liquids. And so the terrorists really are, you know, adapting their methods, and they're always going to try to penetrate that system.
Because it deals with the public, TSA also has to consider passenger convenience and privacy, with programs like PreCheck aimed at getting trusted flyers through the line faster. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And there's news the federal government is suing one of Silicon Valley's most successful companies for an alleged bias against Asian job applicants. Palantir is a national security data analytics company and is one of the biggest privately held tech companies, just behind Uber and Airbnb. The Labor Department has turned data analytics against the company, saying lots of people of Asian heritage apply to Palantir, but a much smaller percentage get jobs. This could cut the company off from federal contracts that Palantir also plans to vigorously fight this, according to published reports. The company was founded by venture capital man Peter Thiel, who, as it happens, spoke in support of Donald Trump at the Republican convention. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.